Good afternoon in Europe, good morning in the U.S. Welcome to our second quarter earnings conference call and webcast. Thank you very much to everyone joining the call. I'm very pleased to introduce to you Mark Schneider, CEO, and Stephan Sturm, CFO. Before we get started, I'd like to mention that today's call is being recorded, and I'd like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement and disclaimer wording on page two of our presentation. This cautionary language also applies to the presentation and comments to be made today. I hope that everyone had a chance to take a look at the presentation on our homepage and website. Mark Schneider will now start with a general overview, and Stephan Sturm will take you through the financials. Afterwards, management is prepared to answer your questions. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Mark. Mark, please.
Thank you, Birgit, and a warm welcome to our Q2 conference call participants today. As always, we appreciate your interest in our company and are pleased to report a successful second quarter and first half of 2013 to you today. Birgit has pointed out the safe harbor language, so let's move right to the summary of our financial results on page three. Following a very strong start in Q1, our business has grown broadly in line with our expectations in the second quarter. Good growth rates for sales and earnings, but as outlined to you in spring, we no longer benefit from first-time consolidation effects at Helios and Fresenius Medical Care. In the first half, we achieved sales of €9,987,000,000, EBIT of €1,448,000,000, and net income of €482,000,000. Constant currency sales growth was 9%, with 5% coming from organic sales growth. Net income in constant currency is up 12%, and as per our new guidance for the year, we will stay in double-digit territory for the remainder of 2013. Turning to page four and the financial results by business segment. We are seeing continued good growth across the board when it comes to sales and a somewhat more nuanced picture when it comes to EBIT. Helios continues to stand out with 19% EBIT growth and is firmly on its way towards another brilliant year. Kabi put in a solid second quarter. In North America, we benefited from last year's product launches, continuing drug shortages, and a strong propofol market share. Kabi's second quarter North American organic sales growth rate of -1% may be lower than some of you expected. With capacity still very tight, we simply could not release product fast enough. We made up for this with a very strong start in Q3. Sales in Europe were softer than expected. When we discussed the situation with you in the Q1 call, we told you to expect sales growth in Europe for the full year 2013 to get back to mid-single digits. We still believe that we will see a recovery in the second half from the 2% sales growth we recorded in H1. However, we believe that we will only recover to low to mid-single digit organic sales growth in Europe for the full year. The one obvious explanation, economic weakness in Southern Europe, continues to be less important to us. Sales for our blood volume expander, HES, have continued to decrease in Q2, following disappointing clinical study data and our recommendations to the healthcare community to limit its use. Asia-Pacific organic sales growth also came in slightly below our expectations. H1 sales growth in China, after considering the price cuts as of February 1st, 2013, was 7%. Volume growth in this important market stayed at a robust level with a 15% increase. In Asia-Pacific, we're expecting a recovery to just about double-digit organic sales growth for the full year 2013. On balance for the full year 2013 for Kabi, with Europe and Asia slightly under our expectations and North America slightly above, we feel very comfortable with Kabi's constant currency sales growth guidance of 12 to 14%. Before I move on to operating and strategy issues for our other business segments, a brief word on Fresenius Medical Care. I think the company is working very hard to cope with a difficult 2 to 3 year stretch for the entire industry. It is more important than ever to separate long-term prospects for dialysis, where we continue to be bullish, from the short-term headwinds that are created by the U.S. fiscal policy in particular. Remember that this year's sequestration was not targeted at dialysis, and that the 2014 proposals for rebasing the reimbursement bundle are not final yet and are subject to an intense dialogue between the industry and CMS. For the most part, and with very few exceptions, the international arena shows you that dialysis is still very far from reaching its limits to growth. Moving now to page 5 and following, we have grouped our report differently from previous quarters. We will first take you through some of the operating highlights and then cover major strategy items instead of giving you a full report by business segment. Let's start with operations and markets for Kabi. Quality comes first, so our entire management team continues to focus on remediating the two FDA issues flagged to you earlier this year to the FDA's fullest satisfaction. We are in close communication with FDA and provide them with not only the required responses, but also plenty of voluntary communication on our progress. At this point, we can fully confirm our previous estimate for one-time charges to remediate those issues, and we also stand by our original estimate that they can be remediated without a major impact on our production and sales volume. The Kalyani India plant is in the process of starting up again. Compared to earlier this year, there is a slight increase of general trucks and Kabi-relevant trucks on the FDA truck shortage list. We also saw continued strong market share for our product Propofol, which is no longer on the truck shortage list. According to IMS, our market share for this product for the latest month available, May, was 86%. This number counts both Propofol and the equivalent Diprivan sales. IMS market share data for June and July is not available yet. However, our June shipments were up 20% over May, and we expect July shipments very close to June levels. So the latest data certainly backs our expectation to retain majority share for this product in the U.S. for the remainder of 2013. We're still seeing significant supply chain restocking for Propofol following a prolonged period of drug shortage. Hence, our shipments by month may deviate considerably from IMS market share data, which is essentially based on pull-through from wholesalers to hospitals and doctors' practices. In any case, both the actual numbers for Q2 and our prospects for the remainder of 2013 certainly look better than what we expected at the beginning of the year. We will continue to work very closely with FDA to mitigate any potential impact from the truck shortage situation to the U.S. healthcare community. I would also like to confirm that our Fenwall integration is fully on track, with the European operations already completely integrated into the Kabi organization. In the U.S., APP and Fenwall headquarters were combined since they were only a few miles apart. Turning to page 6 and Helios, the expected good news on additional funding for German hospitals has now been legislated by both houses of German Parliament. We are expecting a 10 to 15 million euro pre-tax earnings upside for 2013 and about 20 million of upside for the full year of 2014. The expected 2013 upside, which kicks in August 1st, has been fully reflected in our new guidance for Helios. The more important and sustainable news is the updated clinic development plan that now includes our new and improved long-term target. The previous 15% EBITDA margin target has now been moved to a 12 to 15% EBIT margin target. Given that Helios had D&A of about 3.4% of sales last year, this means that our outperformance over and above the previous 15% EBITDA margin target that you have seen in 2011 and 2012 is here to stay. We have also included our post-acute care clinics in this target now. Previously, the target applied only to our acute care facilities. Based on 2012 numbers, the post-acute care clinics had sales of 274 million euros and an EBIT margin of 6.2%. We are expecting improvements in the post-acute care area through a combination of operating upgrades and some portfolio divestitures over time. In the future, our clinic development plan will take 6 years instead of 5 years. So to stay on plan, a clinic needs to show 6 consecutive 2 percentage point increases in EBIT margin starting from the year of acquisition. I would like to finish off the operations and market section with a major piece of good news from Vamed. In the second quarter, the company booked its largest project ever, a turnkey hospital project in Austria with a size of 173 million euros. Securing order intakes like this is a major accomplishment and assures continued successful sales development for several years into the future. With this, let's move to page 7 and some strategic initiatives. Starting with Kabi again, I would like to point your attention to our continued emerging market expansion. In Q2, we acquired a small China-based infusion and nutrition pump business called Jim. Along with our own medical device growth initiatives, this will expand our medical device platform in the important Chinese market. We also acquired 2 compounding facilities in Colombia, which will help to grow our clinical nutrition business in Latin America. Last but not least, we have several interesting small to mid-sized growth initiatives in our acquisition pipeline. While there's a lot of talk about emerging market growth cooling off, we continue to be strong believers in their future. We got started in these markets long before others began, and we will remain undeterred by short-term sentiment changes. We also believe that in addition to major emerging markets like China, India, and Brazil, you will see continued growth opportunities in other emerging market countries. Emerging markets will continue to be a major strategy and growth theme for Kabi for years to come. Let me give you a brief update on the U.S. approval situation for Kabi products. In Q2, we received our 510K clearance for our Agilia infusion pump system. We welcome the opportunity to give the U.S. healthcare community another choice when it comes to infusion pump systems. Nevertheless, we will be very cautious about rolling this out and start with limited pilot applications late this year or early 2014. We have also received regulatory discretion to import into the United States injectable nutrition products that are used in total parenteral nutrition. We're glad to work with FDA to ensure supply of these critical products to the U.S. healthcare community. When it comes to new IV drugs, we launched one product this year in North America that was approved in late 2012 and have recently received a second approval for a product that will be launched in August. So approvals do continue to come in, albeit at a somewhat slower pace than in 2012. Lastly, and before handing it over to Stefan, a final word on Fresenius Biotech. We announced the sale of this unit at the end of June. Selling the entire business certainly is the clearest solution from an organizational standpoint and allows us to fully focus on growth opportunities in our 4 business segments. As a result of the sale, projected operating losses for the second half of 2013 of 10 million euros pre-tax will not materialize, giving us an earnings upside that is reflected in our guidance increase. We have a slight book gain as a result of this transaction, which was non-material to our earnings for the first half of 2013. This concludes my part of the presentation. I would now like to hand it over to Stefan for a detailed look at the financials.
Thank you, Mark, and good afternoon, good morning, welcome. You heard it. A very decent second quarter led to a strong first half. As usual, a quick rundown the group P&L, and that's on slide 9. Q2 sales came in at 5.1 billion euros, up 7% year-on-year at constant currency. Now, that's down from the 12% we were showing in the first quarter, but that is driven by the anniversary of the Liberty and Damp acquisitions. So, as expected, acquired growth is down from 7 points in Q1 to 2 points in the second quarter. And so when I guided you towards fairly steady organic growth of around 5% for the group, that has actually materialized in the second quarter, despite sequestration kicking in for Fresenius Medical Care. EBIT reached 752 million euros, down 2% at constant currency. That is a combination of FMC being down 7%, while the rest of the group is up 5%. You will hear more about FMC in their call in an hour or so. But I believe it is important to note that FMC's margin is up 90 basis points from Q1, and that is also the key driver of the 60 basis points increase at group level. Net interest was 150 million euros in the second quarter, so bang in line with my guidance for an underlying quarterly run rate. And the decrease versus Q1 is just about the one-time charge we incurred for redeeming early the 650 million euro senior notes original due in 2016. And so I believe that 150 million euros is also a good proxy for the coming quarters. And therefore, I'd like to fully confirm my guidance of 600 to 620 million euros for the full year. The group tax rate stood at 28.5% in the first half, and I expect something around 29% for the full year. Finally, net income was 258 million euros in the second quarter, up 11% at constant currency, virtually in line with the Q1 growth rate, and therefore for the first half, we're at 12%. Excluding FMC, Q2 net income growth was 17%, and even 19% if we strip out the Fenwall amortization charge. So very decent growth rates off a demanding base. With that, let's move over to Kabi's EBIT on slide 10. And as usual, let's start at the bottom of the page where you see that total EBIT excluding Fenwall was 451 million euros in the first half, at a par with a very strong first half last year. Also, do bear in mind that we disposed of the Kalea business in France and voluntarily reduced our Greek exposure. The margin of 19.8% remains at the top end of our guidance range. And moving up, you can see that Fenwall contributed 18 million euros of EBIT in the first half. That is 6 million euros in Q1 and already 12 million in Q2. So we're making good progress integrating the business and synergies have started to come through. And as you know, using EBIT as a performance metric here is unfair, actually, to the business because of the substantial amortization charge. On an EBITDA basis, Fenwall's Q2 margin is a very respectable 19.8%, up from the 18.5% we were seeing in Q1. Before I come on to the individual regions, a brief update on FDA remediation charges. Those were 15 million euros in Q2, so quite an increase over the 9 million we were showing in Q1, but do bear in mind that we were looking at only a part of Q1, and the entire Q2. So with the 24 million euros in the first half, we're well on track for our guidance of up to 50 million euros for the full year. And the related provisions that we built in the first quarter have not been touched. So I'm confident that the financial burden in the second half will not exceed what we've booked so far. So now some comments on Kabi's regions. In Europe, the margin in the first half reached 17.3%, with 18.3% in Q2 after 16.2% in the first quarter. So we did see the margin pickup that I had projected, however, not as much as I had hoped. And whilst I do see upside from that first half level, for the full year we need to factor in a margin decrease relative to last year. On the other hand, for North America, my margin guidance from February proved to be way too conservative. On the back of 35.8% in the second quarter, we're at 37.1% for the first half. And the dilution versus the more than 40% last year is driven by Fenwal rather than anything else. And so for the full year, I now expect a margin in the mid-30s. In the emerging markets, the price cuts in China and FDA-related charges in India have driven the year-on-year margin decrease. Both of these effects are up sequentially, which is why the Q2 margin is below Q1. For what it's worth, excluding these effects, the margin would actually be ahead of last year's level. And just as for Europe, whilst there's upside from that margin level in the first half, we'll have to factor in a margin decrease for the full year. But finally, on a more positive note, we've managed to keep overall corporate costs stable despite substantially increased R&D expenses. So that supported Kabi's margin in the short term with the aim to strengthen it in the mid to long term. Over to Helios on slide 11, where total sales reached 1.7 billion euros in the first half. That's up 11% year on year. Organic sales growth was 5% in the second quarter, just as in Q1, and therefore also for the first half. So we continue to operate at the upper end of our guidance range. Total EBIT was 179 million euros, leading to a margin of 10.6%, up 80 basis points year on year. And we also saw a sequential margin increase. Q2 at 10.8% was 50 bips ahead of Q1. As from the second quarter, DAMP has moved up into our established clinic portfolio. So the 4 million euros in the acquisition line, that is and will remain DAMP's Q1 contribution. And the slight margin dilution in Helios's established clinic portfolio from 11.2% in Q1 to 10.8% in the second quarter, that is due to the first-time inclusion of DAMP. Let's conclude with an update on our guidance on slides 12 and 13. You heard Mark on Kabi's sales growth, and he told you about our slightly more muted expectations for Europe and the emerging markets. But likewise, we're now more bullish for North America, and the original guidance of negative growth in the full year is no longer valid. That's the advantage of regional diversification. And so net-net, we're very comfortable with our guidance for sales growth. And a similar picture for Kabi's margin. I told you that we see some margin upside from the first half level in Europe and in the emerging markets. Unfortunately, a bit less than we had originally anticipated. But likewise, we expect some margin pressure in North America, but fortunately much less than we had anticipated. Corporate costs are well under control. The absolute FDA-related charges in the second half will not exceed those of the first, with a bit of consequential margin relief. And Fenwal's performance is picking up. So here again, taking all together, we're very comfortable confirming our margin guidance. At Helios, after the first half, we're just at half the bottom end of the original EBIT guidance range. But you've seen it before, the second half tends to be stronger than the first, and this year should be no different. Over and above that, the increased guidance of 370 to 395 million euros reflects our estimate of the effect of the federal support package. That should be 10 to 15 million euros accruing from August, and the corresponding number for 2014, that will be to the tune of 20 million euros. And Vamed, where after the first half, we are at 21% sales growth. So whilst we're confirming the guidance, given the volatility of the project business, we're also aware that in particular the bottom end of that 8 to 12% range reflects quite some caution. So for the group on slide 13, I can fully confirm our sales guidance. We're at 9.5% currency adjusted growth for the first half, just shy of the top end of our guidance range, and so I don't worry about the bottom end. The currency effect was slightly negative in the first half, about a point, and right now I'd expect that same magnitude for the full year. Re our net income guidance, we've been able to increase that by a very meaningful 4 percentage points, and that reflects the guidance upgrade at Helios, the foregone EBIT losses at Biotech. It also reflects a bit of softness at FMC, and that is offset by progress that we've made elsewhere, in the corporate, in the interest, in the tax line. Given that we're halfway through 2013, we felt that we could also afford to take a bit of caution out the bottom end of that range, and that is why we have made the increase by 4 points at the bottom end. And notwithstanding the expectation of a slightly negative currency effect, we will exceed the 1 billion euro mark quite comfortably. Those are my comments. Thank you for listening so far. Let me hand it back to Mark.
Thanks, Stefan. We're now happy to take your questions. With today's share price reaction in mind, Stefan and I are happy to allocate extra time for our Q&A session. We want to make sure that there is no misunderstanding about the quarter or about our future prospects, which we consider to be really bright. With this, let me hand it back to the operator to start the Q&A session.
We are now starting the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Our first question comes from Veronika Dubova of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you very much for taking my questions. I have three, if I may. So the first one is actually on remediation works, and it's a point of clarification and then a question. One, I want to understand whether those costs have been included in the regional parts of Kabi or are they being included in corporate, which would actually imply that corporate costs are down year on year. And then related to that, do you, given the progress that you've made, how probable do you think that you'll end up towards that 50 million for the full year, or might it be less? And then I have a question about Helios and Fenwal, but I'll ask those afterwards if that's okay.
Veronica, it's Stefan. The remediation charges are allocated to the regions. That is why I mentioned that in particular the emerging markets margin is down in Q2 over Q1. That is driven by the efforts at Kalyani. We're at an aggregate 24 million euros for the first half, and that is over and above fully reserving the Kalea book gain. Those reserves have not been touched, which is why I do believe we're very well on track for our guidance of up to 50 million euros. And that is why I also do actually believe that the burden in the second half is going to be at a maximum what we've seen in the first half.
Understood. Thank you very much. Now, with regards to Fenwal, Stefan, can you tell us how the business grew organically. So year on year, had you looked at comparable Q2 from last year, what would organic growth rate have been? I guess one of the competitors reported a somewhat disappointing performance yesterday.
Yeah, Veronica, this is Mark. We have not published the prior year sales numbers by quarter, and so we have not prepared organic growth rates here. By and large, we were somewhat disappointed by the first quarter, but then saw a good pickup in the second quarter. And so we feel very much on track and in line with our expectations and are happy with the business. And I think when it comes to margin development and integration work, we even consider ourselves slightly ahead.
That is terrific.
You saw the substantial pickup in the overall contribution from Q1 to Q2, and also the margin uptick. So, yes, I would also echo what Mark said. We're well on track.
Terrific. Thank you. And last question is on Helios. Any larger projects that you might be working on there that we could be looking forward to in the second half of the year?
We are working on some projects for the second half, but as I look at the project list so far for this year, what you don't have is real super large projects along the lines of, you know, the Wiesbaden Horst-Schmidt Clinic in last year or something of that sort. So it's more small to mid-sized projects, and yes, there are a few in the pipeline.
That is perfect. Thank you, gentlemen. I'll jump back into the queue.
The next question comes from Ed Riddleday of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. Firstly, on the Agilia approval in the U.S., obviously very positive. Can you talk a little bit more about your plans, sort of the timeline of rolling out clinical nutrition products into the U.S. market, and remind us of the potential benefit of that, both the second half and indeed next year's numbers? That'll be my first question.
Yeah, Ed, thanks for the question. I think it is too early here to give precise guidance for the second half. I mean, what we told you is that second year after we started to launch heritage products in the U.S., that we would expect 50 to 70 million euros in incremental sales, and we still stand by that judgment, but it's very hard to pinpoint that quarter by quarter. And you may have noticed when I talked about the pump system, I'm absolutely excited we got that approval. That's great. That's wonderful, especially given the recent trouble with pump systems in the U.S. But we also want to be sure we don't add to the trouble that you see in the market right now. So we want to be sure that before we sell, we have the proper field service installed and underway, that we collect some experience with pilot customers and then scale it up from there. So this takes absolute preference. Customer satisfaction comes before, you know, finding an impressive quarter and then a disappointment the quarter later.
Sure, no, very good. Thank you. And on Propofol, obviously encouraging the bounce back you've seen in June. Could you put your finger on what has driven that? Obviously, we are, you know, everyone is well aware of the competitive situation there on Propofol, but it is encouraging that you've been able to rebuild some share following the initial loss.
Yeah, I'd be very careful about the share, because what I was trying to point out is that there may be a difference between actual shipments and what the market share is. Shipments are basically what goes out the door with us and what gets built. And then the market share, according to IMS, is the pull-through from the wholesalers to hospitals and doctors' practices. And those may vary depending on whether the wholesalers do stock building or stock depletion. And at the end of this fairly prolonged shortage period of more than a year, we now saw some pretty erratic moves. Now, when it comes to our sales and earnings, of course, the shipments are more important than IMS market share. And so what I was trying to share with you is that the June data and July data looked very, very promising. And I think going forward, it's an easy commitment on our part as we go through these quarterly presentations to share with you that shipment data for the two previous months, because the IMS data, as you know, is always 2 months delayed, and hence this is more actual information that we can provide to you, and we're happy to do it.
No, that absolutely, that's very helpful, I think, for everyone. But in terms of your market share, and clearly you've talked previously about keep maybe maintaining half of your market share in propofol, I guess, I think we really need now to be looking at a year-end market share potentially well above that.
We're comfortably above. You're absolutely right. But again, it's very hard to pinpoint a percentage number.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
The next question comes from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead.
Sorry, two quick questions. One on Kabi. Are you expecting any benefit from the German hospital reimbursement increase in terms of hospitals purchasing more products from Kabi in Europe? And is that a driver of your anticipated stronger H2 for Kabi in Europe, or would that be an added benefit if it came through? And I guess given that you obviously won't hear the offer as well, you give us some color on from that perspective also. I'll start with that question, if I may.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to say yes, but I don't think that's a real expectation. So the stronger second half is mostly due to our drug launch schedule, which is somewhat backloaded this year. And I think we mentioned this as part of the full-year call and the Q1 call. So that still applies, and I think that's going to give us some uplift in the second half. The fact that these hospitals get paid a little more, keep in mind, a lot of them will stay in the red nonetheless, doesn't mean they'll be more generous when it comes to their purchases. So unfortunately, that won't help. When it comes to Helios, keep in mind, in today's numbers, you're seeing none of that yet. So this will only kick in August 1st. And so it'll build on what is already a spectacular development.
Okay. And secondly, you've talked about the Indian plant coming back on stream. Can you give us a little bit more color on where you are on Grand Island?
Yeah. So keep in mind, unlike Kalyani, where we voluntarily shut down production and then did remediation work and are now starting up, Grand Island has been, while we did our remediation work, continuing to manufacture and deliver full steam. So we're making good progress there. We share our results monthly with FDA. And so that's why I was saying earlier, we're not expecting limitations to our ability to produce and ship while we're doing the remediation work. And from a top management perspective, there's no single item that gets more attention than this one. So whatever resource we have, we make sure we accelerate that remediation work.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Tom Jones of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. I had two questions. The first, I just wondered if you could help try and understand your expectations for margins in Kabi in North America in the second half. On one hand, you've got some headwinds facing you, a bit of disruption at Grand Island, arguably fewer products launched in the first half of this year and fewer drug shortages. And yet you're steering towards pretty healthy margins in the second half of the year in the mid-30s for the full year. Is that just an expectation of continued high levels of propofol sales plus some drug shortages or some new drug launches, in the second half of the year? Or is there anything else going on within your North American business with respect to the margin that we need to understand?
Tom and Stefan, given where we are right now at about 37-38% in the half year, I think the expectation of something in the mid-30s, that does already incorporate pretty well an expectation of margin pressure, given all the reasons that you mentioned for the second half. On that basis, I would still say that we feel very comfortable with that assumption of ending the year or having for the full year a margin in the mid-30s. I don't think there is anything else that you need to read into this.
Okay, perfect. The second question, just on hydroxyethyl starch, I wonder if you might care to give us at least a suggestion of what your total current run rate revenues are for that product. I mean, I've heard of a couple of hospitals effectively outlawing the product. I just wondered, is this a product that you're eventually going to kind of wind down to nothing, or do you think this still has a long-term future in the healthcare system?
Yeah, Tom, good for bringing this up. We believe it does have a future in the healthcare system, and I think some significant regulatory bodies like the FDA and others agree with us. And hence, when the latest study data came out over the winter, It was very clear, and we were quite responsible and proactive about this, that we had to limit a few areas of use, like, for example, in the cases of sepsis. But when you ask practicing doctors, it's also very clear that the product does have some clinical advantages in particular circumstances where it would be certainly unwise to limit their arsenal of various medicines that they have at their fingertips without any need. So that's why we appealed PRAC's decision, and I think that appeal will get resolved later this year. And this is the one that refers to Europe, where PRAC had recommended to EMA to stop marketing the product. Again, this is what we're appealing. But I think as you look at other regulatory bodies outside of Europe, they clearly seem to be agreeing with us that, yes, it is wise to give certain limitations, but to also keep the product on the market. And so when we look at the second quarter and the first half, we've seen, of course, some impact from limiting the product's use. And when it comes to our sales guidance for later this year, of course, we also made some appropriate assumptions here. So I think we won't be surprised.
Okay, perfect. That's very helpful.
The next question comes from Chris Gretler of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have actually a follow-up question on, you know, this situation. Just maybe if you could quickly elaborate on the performance in infusion therapy and clinical nutrition, which according to my calculation were both down year over year in Q2. Basically, in infusion therapy, I understand, you know, this is probably, you know, due to this, you know, starch situation. And in clinical nutrition, is this reflection of, you know, China? Or maybe if you could elaborate on these two areas quickly.
Chris, I think the only one I can point you to is that in Q2 2012, we still had a fairly strong growth because there were some selective shortages here in Europe, in particular surrounding parental nutrition products. And those have been resolved later in 2012, and so they didn't reoccur now. And hence, the year-over-year comparison looks bad. And Stefan, you have another
one? As far as clinical nutrition is concerned, China is also a very major market. So as from the 1st of April, we've been hit by the Chinese price cuts, in particular in that product area.
Okay, good. No, I did understand that. And maybe then two more questions. Well, first, on the tax rate.
Can you speak up a little bit, Chris?
Yes, I'm sorry. The first follow-up is on the tax rate, and it looks like you're more comfortable with the 29% rate now, and I remember right, you know, it was more like 30 before. Is this now a structural thing or an annual thing? Would you basically make us now put in 29 medium-term as well in our model?
I feel more comfortable trending towards 29. It is also a structural trend where we have a somewhat lower contribution from North America or from other high tax rate bearing countries.
Okay, clear. Yeah, so that was clear. And then maybe the last question is on privatization potential in the German hospital market, whether you could give us an update, whether you have seen any changes here now as of late.
No, I think still building up towards a good year, not quite as large as 2012. But again, that's mostly due to missing mega projects. But when it comes to small and medium size, I think we're seeing good activity. And so certainly no fears that the privatization well is drying up.
Okay, good to hear. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Julian Demos of Fresenius SE. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. This is actually Julian from Exane, so I was not aware I sent you my resume, but anyway. Just one question regarding the Helios, about the additional funding for German hospitals. Is that a benefit that will start in H2 and will continue into H1 of next year? And will that be a benefit to organic growth, or is it only a benefit to earnings in your P&L?
Julian, this is Mark. Welcome on board. But I think your stand is also quite company. So let me say it's an 0.8% increase to organic sales, and of course automatically it drops down to the bottom line as well. And this 0.8% increase will apply to any treatment performed on or after August 1st for the remainder of 2013. And then there is a 1% increase from January 1st, 2014. So same thing, it'll increase organic sales, and also it'll drop down straight to the bottom line.
Okay, thanks a lot.
And Julia, that's why I mentioned the corresponding effect for 2014. We currently estimate that is 20 million euros. And that obviously, for the avoidance of doubt, does not come on top of the 10 to 15 that we're projecting now. It is rather than the 10 to 15 that we're seeing from August to December 2013.
Okay.
And Julian, this is Mark again. Sorry, I just actually turned around the number. So it's 0.8% from January 1st, 2014, and 1% as of August 1st, 2013. So sorry about that.
Okay. Okay, fine. And just two quick follow-ups, if I may. If I'm right, if I got you right, you had some tight capacity for the cabbie business in the U.S. Does that relate to a specific product or product line? And the second one is about the product approval you mentioned that you got recently, and it seems that I've missed that one, so could you just provide me with the name?
Yeah. Julian, the capacity, given that we're still operating in a field of widespread drug shortages, it actually applies to various products. It includes propofol, where we manufacture flat out and try to satisfy market demand in the U.S., but also around the world. And so it was simply happening that some batches didn't get ready at the end of quarter for shipment. But then shipment occurred right at the beginning of July, and hence I was saying we had a strong start to our third quarter. So again, simply a sign of these immense shortages and the strain on everyone's capacity, including our own. In terms of the approval, that is coming out in August. And we have not yet announced that yet, but there'll be an APP announcement coming out in August about the product.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Alex Kleban of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just two questions on Helios. So the first one was on the language within the hospital subsidy ruling. It looked like there was a change to how the DRG inflator will be calculated. And I'm just wondering if you could give some color on that and whether that's material and maybe incremental to the guidance or already in the numbers. Then second question is just on the margin improvements and the for the post-acute care facilities and whether is sort of how much of that's coming from divestitures versus how much is coming from underlying improvements. Is it sort of 50-50 or is it skewed to one direction or the other? Thanks.
Yeah. On the first one, we're not aware of any particular changes to the DRG inflator calculation. So let's see how the year unfolds. As you know, typically in October, we are then updating you as part of the Q3 call. In October, the news comes out, and then we update you about that in our Q3 call. But we're not aware of any material changes that would have an effect on 2014. And keep in mind, 2014 then is going to be a year of essentially double dipping because you'll have the 0.8% increase we just talked about, plus you will have the DRG inflator that gets decided in October. When it comes to the post-acute care clinics, clearly operating improvements always take preference for us, and so, we'll try that. And then if we believe that post-acute facilities work in areas that are structurally not improvable, then we might at some point also consider clinic divestitures. But again, preference clearly is on operating improvements. So I can't point you yet to a precise breakdown between what is going to be the operating improvement, what is the divestiture. And also when you model this, be careful. Coming up now from that EBIT margin slightly above 6%, it'll take a bit of time to get into target territory. And as I said, it only applies to about somewhat less of 300 million euros of sales. So it is not truly material to Helios. But it is a nice upside to work on.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
The next question comes from Ingeborg Ohi of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. First one is on the long-term targets in Helios. Could you explain what the relatively wide target band relates to? Is this simply that you expect all hospitals to be within those parameters, or is there, what's determining it?
Yeah, well, great question, and let me handle that one first. I know you may have a second one to follow up, but let me just talk about what drove us in redesigning those targets. I think we realized that we saw more misses than we wanted to at the front end. And hence, you know, to have a bit of a softer development path, it was important to have now 2 percentage point increments and give us a bit of a softer start. And we felt that in order to keep up morale at these places and to keep focused on growth, that was the better way to go rather than giving too much emphasis on an initial margin kick-up. And then when it comes to the long end, after 6 years, I think what we realized simply is that clinics are different depending on where they're located, and they may have a different profitability profile. And if you take the 12%, the lower threshold of EBIT, and add 3.4% of D&A, what it shows you is that at the very minimum, we expect these clinics to perform even better than what we targeted before. But that over and above that, I think there's a 3 percentage point range where clinics can do better. And those are clinics in high growth areas, or there might be clinics that have an unusually large share of private payers. So it depends a lot on specific circumstances and the DRG mix that they cater to.
Great. Thanks for the color on that. Second question is on Fresenius Medical Care, and you mentioned, you know, the tough period that the industry has been going through for kind of 2-3 years. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on how you are working with management of Fresenius Medical Care in terms of the development of the strategy or how involved you are. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's not front run the FMC conference call. I think I've worked with them as I do with our three other operating units, and that is I stay closely involved in operating and financial performance and strategy development, but also respect and make sure that we believe in strong decentralized management and the right people doing the right job. So staying close to this and working with them is a prerequisite, but we also believe very much in their ideas, their initiatives, and their leadership in building this business. And I think they're doing well under the circumstances. As I said, it's a tough stretch, but when you look at dialysis on a midterm basis, there's plenty of growth yet to be had.
Thank you.
The last question today comes from Veronica Bava of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for squeezing me in there. I do have two quick follow-ups, if I can. One is just to North America. Stefan, maybe now that you've had your hands around Fenwal for a little bit and you maybe have a better sense of what the post-drug shortage world is looking like, any thoughts you can share with us on kind of medium-term growth expectations and margin expectations for that business? I know a lot of us have many questions and uncertainties about that, so it would be great to get your thoughts. And the second one's just quickly on Helios Club. You haven't really mentioned the initiative in your remarks, but I'm just wondering what kind of traction you've seen so far, and as you think about potential contribution in a 3 to 5 year view, what that might look like. Thank you so much.
Veronica, from where we are right now, what we would expect once the overall situation has normalized as far as drug shortages are concerned, that we would return to that 7 to 10% medium-term growth guidance that we had given right at the time when we acquired APP. And you will recall that came on the back of a 6 to 8% growth guidance for all the regions that were in Kabi's heritage business. And therefore, the increase to 7 to 10 that was driven by the assumption of an overproportionate growth rate in North America. If you back it out, then you're getting to a growth rate that is just round about 10%. So So from a new normal, I would, from this vantage point today, still assume that these metrics do apply, not in each and every year, but as a medium-term average.
Veronica, when it comes to Helios Club, which is our new initiative that we rolled out in May to enroll more patients into with their employers into a private patient upgrade situation, it's a little too early to give you a precise guidance here on a 3 to 5 year basis. I think what we need to do is roll through that first year, 2013, and then I guess with the Q4 call, it's a good time to tell you how it resonated with the German market and then what the prospects are going forward. I mean, at this point, we're out in the market selling this for literally 8 or 9 weeks, so not much time to build an expectation on, and I want to be sure that whatever expectations we put out for it are realistic. To me, it's just a real interesting initiative, and it shows the entrepreneurial drive of the Helios management to actually do the best with the footprint they have today and build on the experience we have with Fresenius employees that are insured this way and see whether we can sell you an exciting new additional insurance product and that will drive organic growth. So we're quite bullish on it, but it's too early to put a number on it specifically, but we'll do that as part of the Q4 call at the beginning of 2014.
That is terrific. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for joining our call today. Thank you for your time and your questions, and goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.